Starting on the top of Mem Amud Aleph, starting 2, 4, 6 lines down, Amar Rav Chisda. So the Gemara is discussing what the requirements of the, until this point the Gemara is discussing, was there a Torah requirement of a razor to cut the Nazir's hair at the end. Now the Gemara can discuss other qualifications for, in terms of cutting by a Nazir. So Amar Rav Chisda. To get Malkus, you require only one. It's Ma'akev with two. Listar, Eno Soter, the Rov Rosh. And to be Soter, you need the Rov Rosh, Uvitar, and with the razor. So what do these mean? So Lilkot Ba'achat. So Lilkot Ba'achat means that if I cut my hair, I need to get Malkus for cutting your hair before the end of your Nazirut, I mean to violate the law in the Torah. If you cut a single hair, that's enough to create a Chiyuv Malkus. Ba'akev b'shtayim is that if I cut my hair at the end of my Nazirut, at the end of my Nazirut Tahara, and I shave my head, but I leave two hairs. If I leave over two hairs, that is not considered as if I shaved my head at the end. So the requirement to shave one's head or to clearly clear one's head with a razor at the end of his Nazirut, that is only done if you shave all your hair. Meaning that if you leave over two already, that's not considered as if you've shaved all your hair. Listor means I'm going to have to wait, meaning that we saw before what the requirements are, whether it's 7 days or 30 days, or what's the requirement, but if I want to undermine my Nazirut by having my hair cut, that has to be the cutting of Rov Rosho. The majority of one's head has to be cut in order to be considered that I no longer have the Se'ar Rosho, or Kadosh Gadol, that is, hair is grown out to be Kadosh. So these are three dinim that to come by Nazirut. Point out here that the Francis Tosfos over here says, Kulan hein halacha b'nazir, shalom atzinu behem tam. These are all halachas by Nazir without any clear reason. So we're giving, these are, you know, halachot that we know by Nazir, but they don't necessarily have any logic associated with them. So again, to be chayv malkus, you just have to cut one hair. To cut off all your hair at the end of your Nazirut for Tara to qualify for all your hair being shaved off, you have to cut off everything. And you can't leave over more than two hairs, right? Two hairs can't be left over. What?
More than two?
Two, even two. Can't be left over. And Lister and a Soter of a Rov Rosho. And if you want to be Soter in Nazirut, which we talked about previously, that has to be Rov Rosho. Now the last thing is Ubitar. And with a razor. Now what is that razor modifying? Excuse me, is it modifying all three sections until that point? That means the only way to get Malkus is to use a razor and cut one hair. To cut your hair at the end of the Nazirut, you need a razor. And to be Soter, you need a razor. I mean, it's the word tar is modifying all three things we saw until this point. Or is tar possibly modifying a smaller amount or only one of those items? So if you look at the Tosfos Uvitar, the Tosfos Uvitar on the left side, Venera, the Perish, the Kaya Ratio, that this word tar is only modifying the first statement here. It's Enoloka Elevatar. There's only get Malkus Batar. About who Soter, Kinami Enokaintar. But it's also Soter, even if it's like a razor. So this is Tosfos Lashitato. If you remember yesterday, Tosfos mentioned that when the Gemara said that you are Kaya for Tar, right there he says that it means Kaintar, even something that is similar to a tar. Right, so that when you have a malchus, that's when there's a tar, requirement of tar. But even when you're soter, right, kinamik ain't okay in tar. Even if it's not kain tar. So you have a.
So it doesn't seem to be a listor requirement because you need a. The point is that you need a 30-day growth in order to get off. So what you cut it with? If you cut it, you're not using a tire or something like a tire.
Well, that may not be cutting your hair, that's the point.
If you don't have hair, right. Somehow you manage to cut it all off, so you don't have a growth of hair.
All right.
You know,
that
tampers your clothes.
Right.
You really do have hair.
We had that yesterday with Rabbi Yonatan's opinion there, right? That Kaddush, that the Asay and Lotasay only apply by a tar, by a razor. And so that's the only way it'll be soaked there. Now, the possibility is that Stira, right, could be, and this is what Tosis is suggesting, that Stira has nothing to do with tar. That Malkus is the only thing that has to do with tar, and that's the Lav and the Asay. But when you're talking about, like you're suggesting, Shaul, which is, I think, Tosis' position, that Stira should not have anything to do with whether you violated the Lav or the Asay, but the requirement to have hair. And when you don't have hair, then you can't, you don't have hair to shave off at the end, and therefore you'll be soaked there, the Nazir, so you have to wait for 30 days for the hair to grow back. So I think that's what Tosis is saying. There, if you look, the Rush says, I'll just read it to you, it's a one line in the Rush, it says, Lutar Apulukai. He says the word tar applies to all three of these. Alright? V'chein elu helachot, v'tamein b'hem. These are halachos that have a tam. So the Rush believes that the requirement of tar applies all, even to Malkus, even to the Stira, and even to the final cutting off. The Tosus again is what she taught though yesterday, where we saw that Tosus thinks that the word tar is much more expansive than tar itself. It means tar behold the dummy lay. And then when you say the asay applies even to things that are not kain tar. So Tosus following is, I think, somewhat following a shita over here. And then the Rush is bringing down the first opinion he brought yesterday, which is that the tar will apply to everything. I mean, the tar means literally tar, and not kain tar. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Bitar in, Bimidach Rina no. Sounds like you only violate the lav, let's go according to Tosfos, violate the lav if you have used a razor. But what's that something else? No, Bahaktani. Maybe not in the Rabbah, it's called Hama Abirin. We just had this yesterday when we went from the Brisa. How do you know we can include, right, all things that are Ma'avir? Anything that removes hair, right? And we had a Riboy from Kadosh, okay, Kadolia, Kadosh Rosho, or from the Asay that we find by Nazir. So Mar says, Ella. So the Mar's answer is, Ema Ke'in Tar. When we say tar over here, we don't literally mean a tar, but anything similar to a tar. Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a similar brisa by Nazir, Shetalash, Meirat, and Sifseif Koshu. Right? Nazir plucked out of hair, he removed his hair, or he chopped off, he cut his hair. Ain't a soter, elevarov rosho. He only is soter when he cuts out the robe of his rosh. Uvitar. And with a razor, Rabbi Shimon Yudo Meir Mishim Rabbi Shimon Kashem Shishtei Sarot Ve'Akvobo Kach Shishtei Sarot Stotrot Bo. So the way the Tanna Kama learns is that even though the Tanna Kama here seems to indicate we have a brisa that does what here? That's the question. What the brisa supports over here depends what you think. Depends what you think it said above, right? Depends what you think the previous statement of Rav Chista said. So that if you look at Tanya Nami Hochi, the Tosfos says the only proof from this brisa is that what? That your lokev is soter berob rosho. So Tosfos says the proof of this brisa has nothing to do with the tar aspect of it. But the Tanya Nami Hochi is that you only need rob rosh to be soter in zirut. And that's what the brisa says. The brisa says, sifsev koshu enu soter berob rosho. That's the purpose of bringing the brisa, to prove that that aspect of Rav Chista.
I have a brisa and Rav Shimon Yehuda, Rav Shimon that even, that was for, which we haven't seen before, is even Shteis Aros.
Right. All right. So we'll get to Rav Shimon's opinion in a second, but I think the proof for the price is from the Tanna Kamma, which is that it's soter rov rosho. That's according to Tosfos, who thinks that tar doesn't literally mean tar, but means kain tar. Whereas, and then if you look next on the Nazir, she tells us from Meir Rishif Shev Koshu Chayv Lokev Ein Asutel Barob Rosho Ubitar. Tar means Kein Tar. You have to explain Tar here to mean Kein Tar. So that can't be. That's not the proof. The proof is Tanya Nami Hach is not showing that Tar really means Kein Tar, right? But rather it means coming to prove to you that it's Rob Rosho, and you're going to have to explain the word Tar here to mean Kein Tar, like a razor. That's the way Tosfos learns it over here. But now if you look in the Meforish. Tanya Nami Hoki, according to the Farish, is the Amar of Chisto Batar Dafka. So when the Gemara came here to show that the Gemara gave an alternative, we said that Rav Chista has a position that it's tar. It has to be a razor. The Gemara challenged that. It says, well, we have all these, we have these tanoim before that we're learning that it's not simply tar, but kol ha-ma'avirin, anything that removes hair. So the Gemara answered up, no problem, don't say tar, say ke'ein tar. Then we have Tanya Namihok, he comes to support the position of a fist and say, you don't have to say ke'ein tar. It can mean literally tar. And you're limited to razor. That's it. That's the only thing you're going to be chayav for. And that's what the Mefarsh says. Tanya Namihok is kid amar of fist, but tar dafko. Only with the razor. And then there's the Mefarsh brings the other opinion, which is what Tosfos brings, is that it really means ke'ein tar here. So what this Braisa proves depends on how you view the first case. But Tosfos, the Braisa proving that it's dafka tar is not valuable, because Tosfos believes that tar means ke'ein tar. And that's what the Gemara answers up. That's the position of Rav Chisda. So therefore, then the Braisa comes, the only thing it can prove is that it's Rosho. That's what
the Braisa is. Now, see, if Tosfos learns Rav Chisda as saying ke'ein tar to begin with, then what's the Gemara saying? Is it ain like ke'ein tar?
So I think that's he's saying that it's. So he says that we thought by Rav Chisda that the first Malkus was only by tar, dafka. He learned that the rest of the Braisa of Rav Chisda was Ke'in Tar. Or something that even wasn't Ke'in Tar. But he says the Gemara comes along and says, when we say Tar, in the first place it means Ke'in Tar. That's all he says. Right? He says that the word Tar means not just Tar, but Ke'in Tar in the first case of Malkus. The others don't even require Ke'in Tar, according to Tosfos. According to the Rosh, Tar applies to everything. And therefore, when the Gemara came to Ke'in Tar, that was one solution that, oh, how does Rav Chisda not argue with the Tana? If Tanoim that say Tar is not Dabko, to say, no, we have another Braisa that supports Rav Chisda's position that it is Tar Dabko. It doesn't have to be Ke'in Tar. So how you learn the first part of Rav Chisda will determine whether you think the Braisa is supporting over here in Rav Chisda. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, so this is the other opinion, Rabbi Shimon, this is an interesting opinion, which makes some sense, is Kishem, she stays there with Ma'akvot, but at the end, if you leave two hairs over, that's enough to not be qualified as cutting your hair for your Taras and Nazir, Kash stays there with Sotrabo. So therefore, if two hairs are significant, they should be significant in every place. It should be significant in that when you cut your hair, it's not considered cutting your hair. It should be significant that when you do cut two hairs, that is considered cutting your hair. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. All right. It's not awesome. We have a Mishnah in Negoyim. Shlosha migalchin v'tiglachatan mitzvah. Three types of people have to cut their hair, are required to cut their hair, and cutting their hair is a mitzvah. Nazir, which we're obviously Masech Nazir right now, Umitzora, and Levi'im. Right, all three of them require the cutting of the hair. But Kulan, right, in the Midbar. Kulan Shagilchush Lobitar, right, any of them that did not do it with a razor, Oh Shishairu Shte Sarot, Loasu Veloklum. Any of them who did not cut with a razor, or left over two hairs, they didn't do anything. So now Amamar. So the Gemara is going to discuss or dissect the mission over here. So the term Amar Mar, again, I'll just point this out. It happened over by Cholam Moed Pesach. We also had on Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara quoted our Mishnah, and it says Amar Mar. Now Amar Mar throughout Shas is used as a quote for Amoraim, when the Amoraim are discussing some sort of topic, and then they want to delve into it more, like they say Rav Chisda's statement above, and they go Amar Mar, and then they'll go and dissect what Mar said over there. Some proof that they brought in the middle of a section of the Gemara, and then they'll say Amar Mar. But Amar Mar over here is quoting the Mishnah that we just quoted from the Goyim. So you don't use the term Amar Mar when it regards to a Mishnah. Then in Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara did the same thing and said Amar Mar with regards to our Mishnah. Lamed Beis. Amar Aleph, there it said Amar Mar. So over there, the Mefarish says something very strange. The Mefarish says, Masnisanhi. It's really a Mishnah. So why are they saying Amar Mar? Right? Because Aval, Lashon Rishalmi Kachu. That's the way the Yushalmi reads. Now Yushalmi uses the term Amar Mar even when it's talking about a Mishnah. So, and the Mefarish seems to be indicating some sort of, right, that this Nazir has more similarity to a Yishalmi than it does to a Babli Lashon, and therefore it's using this term. So if you look at the Amar Mar over here, that's what the Beis, the Hagos Rönschenberg, also refers you back to that Rashi, that before Shavdaf Lama Beis of an Aleph. Why does the Gemara use the term Amar Mar here? Is because it's it's this, quote-unquote, Lashon Yishalmi. Alright, so Amar Mar. Shloshim Migalchin V'tikadachan Mitzvah. So now we're going to dissect this Mishnah. There are three that are required to get giluach, and their giluach is a mitzvah. Pshito, of course, right? Right? What? Ma'adatema. What would you have thought? I mean, that they all explicitly say that you have to cut their hair. There's a requirement of giluach at the end. What's the havamina that there isn't a mitzvah to cut their hair? So it says, Mishum Eburei Sarhu. Right, so we're coming to, we thought that the din, they're saying, maybe we thought the din is to remove one's hair. But if he was sach nasha, even if he uses some sort of chemical to remove his hair, that would be sufficient. Kamash Milan, delo. Right, Kamash Milan, that's not sufficient. You can't just remove your hair, you must giluach, you must cut your hair. Right, so now it says, v'kitani, v'chulan shegiuchu shlo betar. Now all of them that you do without a razor, right, that is no good. So not only do you have a requirement of cutting the hair, the cutting is required to be done with a razor. So we know that we have the term tar is mentioned by nazir, so that makes sense. But the beam explicitly says that they had to shave with the razor over their whole body. Ela mitzora v'tar minalan. How do you know that a mitzora requires a razor? So what are you going to say? Let's learn it out from the levim. Ma levim shekein tuanim taglachtan v'intekachtan ela v'tar. Just like the levim required their body to be shaved, and the only way you can shave it is with a razor. I'll include the mitzvah has a requirement of tiklachat. We don't know the word tar, but we'll say there's a binyan av. Anywhere you have tiklachat, you require tar from levim. Or it says, Ikalamifrach, no, there's a chumra by the levim that you can't learn out from the levim. What's that? Ma levim shekein tuanim tenufa begufa. Right, this is an unusual circumstance that the levim require, not only do they have to require that tiglachas, but they require to physically be lifted up. They have to have a wave offering with the levi himself, not just with the korban that he brings, but with the levi himself. Tomer mitzorah zelo, by mitzorah, you don't have any tenufa of the mitzorah himself. So that's a chumra by levim. So maybe the requirement of tar comes from the fact that levi is more chumra and it won't apply by mitzora. So let's learn it out from nazir. Mala nazir shekein karbanotu and lechem. What do you mean? Nazir has a special requirement that what? The toldat nazir requires chalot to come, lechem to come along with it. Tomar mitzora delo. Mitzora only brings karbanot. He doesn't bring any lechem with his karbanot. So we can't learn it out from either one individually. Let us learn it out from both of them together, which is that together they'll establish a binyanav. So that's, what is it going to be? Where are we going to bring them? Tete levim. So you want to bring it from the levim, learn out from the levim. Ma'levim can't turn him to tufa begufan. There's a chumra by levim. That what they require tufa of their body themselves, of the guf of the levi himself. Nazir yochiyach. Nazir will prove it there. Nazir doesn't require any tufa by the of the nazir himself. And yet still he requires a razor. Ma'le nazir shekein karbanot tum lechem. So you're going to say, oh, we can't learn out of nazir because nazir requires lechem, requires the to be brought along with his todah. He requires lechem to be brought. Levim yochichu. Levim will prove because they didn't have to bring lechem with their karbanot. And nevertheless, they require tar. Because they didn't. Lo reizeh, karoizeh. I mean that neither of them is similar. Each one has a chumrah. But each chumrah is different than the other one. So the common ground, the common denominator between the two is shentin tiklachas v'tiklachan v'tar. That they both require shaving, and they require shaving with a tar. So that'll be the binyanav, and that binyanav will say that when you come to mitzorah and you have to shave by mitzorah, that you also require a razor. Afani, aviyat mitzorah, shulton tiklachat v'tiklachto v'tar. I'll bring in from mitzorah. The mitzorah requires shaving, through a razor.
Pakos. We have a similar situation, but the rule there was that if the chumros were different, they don't cancel each other out.
Right, so the Gemara sometimes says that. The Gemara sometimes when it says that Tzad Shevesh Ben says that Sheyesh Behen Tzad Chumra, that they're both equal because they all have a Tzad Chumra by them.
Which doesn't apply to the third one.
Right, which is apparent in the photograph. But here, Mitzorah does have a Chumra, Tzad Chumra to it. So it's not necessarily that, you know, in those cases, I think in Makkah's other cases, is that those two have a Tzad Chumra that the third one does not have any Tzad Chumra above the other two. In this case, Mitzorah does have a Tzad Chumra, so I don't know if you can apply it over here.
No, what they're trying to do is they're taking these two Chumros, or these two extra aspects, And they're saying, since they're different, we ignore them.
Or another way to put that is the Havamim is, let's say, by Levi, that why is the great part are? Because Levi required was Tufa. Right? As we say, no, it can't be that the requirement for Tara is connected just to the requirement of Tufa, because we have Nazir, but there is no Tufa requirement, and so it requires Tara. So we say, oh, maybe the Nazir requires
Tufa. The same.
Right. In Marcos, the
reasoning was used in Marcos,
no,
right?
No,
the reason is because of the Chumrah.
No, but the Gemara in Marcos, if you're different, the Marcos ends up saying, and the Gemara in a lot of ways ends up saying, but there is still a common denominator between the two that the third one doesn't share. Where there are other aspects of it where it's not, you know, there's no other dimension that is unique to one and not the other. Here the Gemara hasn't said, at least so far the Gemara hasn't said.
So in the Gemara Marcos says that what you're suggesting, and other places say that they're Tzad HaShemesh Rebbe, that they have a Tzad Chumrah. That the Tzad HaChumrah means that even though the Chumrahs aren't equal, but just because they have a Chumrah, that's enough to say that we shouldn't learn from them, right? Versus the other one. But that's only in the case where the third item that you're trying to learn to does not have a Chumrah itself. Doesn't have something that raises it above the other two, doesn't have a Chumrah. But here, Metzorah has a Chumrah above Nazir and above Levi, so therefore you can't say Tzad Chumrah because Torah also has a Tzad Chumrah to it. The case in Makos and those other cases, whereas the other two items in the Torah have a Tzad Chumrah, and the third item has no Chumrah, is always a Kula to those two items. It never has something that's about those two.
So what you're trying to say is that the Lo Izek or Izek tells us that the reason for Tiglachas Betar has nothing to do with these extra aspects.
Right, exactly. Because Mitzvah also has an extra aspect. So you can't say that that's unique to those two places, and those extra aspects are not driving the tower here. Right. Whereas if Mitzvah had no Chumrah above these two, then you could argue that. You could argue that both Levi and Nazir have a Chumrah, and you need some form of Chumrah in order to drive tower. So that's what the Gemara Makos is after. And I think that's what's different here, that Mitzvah does have a Tzad Chumrah to it, which we'll see in a second. Because if you remember yesterday, the Gemara tried to go the other way, which is try to learn Nazir from Mitzvah. Which is going to present a problem for the Gemara now. All right. Amalei Rava mi Barnish the Rashi. Vilifroch ma ha'tzad ha'shevesh behen shekein ein karbeno bidalut. Wait a minute. Maybe. Right. There's a tzad chumra then. That's what that is. There's something that's applicable by Nazir and Mitzvah, which is that they are not karbenot olav yareid. That they have one korban for everybody. Whereas Tovar, Mitzvah, Shekabino, Bedalut, that a Mitzvah, maybe the Mitzvah should not have required Tar, because Mitzvah has a Kula that is not apparent in the other two. The other two have a Chumrah, that they have stationary Karbanot, they have Karbanot that don't Kavua, that don't move, whereas you have a Tekarban Mitzvah that's dictated by your economic status. And therefore, Mitzvah might have a Kula that will not require Tar. So this is somewhat equivalent to what you were just asking.
Exactly.
Right?
It's saying that they have a similar Chumrah, which right. means that they strengthen each other and set them aside.
Right. Here it's a common Chumrah. There are other places in the Gemara where the Gemara says even when the Chumrahs are different, that Tzad Chumrah is enough to wipe it out. But here it's a common Chumrah, which is a common theme that will wipe it out. All right. Amar Leih Rav Mishra Shisha L'Rava. Hi, Tana. So Rav wants to know, it's very interesting because the Gemara here, they're two different Tanoim, so it's very interesting that the Gemara wants to do this, but Robert is asking, we had a limud yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, on the end of Lama Temner Beis, the Gemara says by Rebbe, he says, so Gemara says, Lamdo mi Mitzorah, Yefshar, Shein Danin Kal Mechomer. Right, don't learn out from Mitzorah to Nazir that you need a Tar. Why? Because Mitzorah has a Tzad Chumrah that you can't learn from. But the underlying assumption that Gemara was that Mitzorah requires Tar, a razor. And the Gemara wanted to possibly learn out Nazir from Mitzorah. Then we come over here to this Gemara, the Gemara says that Mitzorah has no din of Tar, has no din of razor. Only Nazir and Levi have a din of Tar, and you want to learn Mitzorah out from them. So make up your mind. Does Mitzorah have Tar, and therefore you're trying to learn Nazir out from it? Or does Nazir have Tar, and you're trying to learn Mitzorah from it? So that's Rava's question over here. So he says, Hai Tanami Kora, Amar Lo, I'm doing Mitzorah. Before the Gemara suggested learning out from Mitzorah, Nazir from Mitzorah. You have Shar, Shein Danin Kal Mi Chamor. Right? You don't learn out a Kal from the Chamor. So again, this is why I said to you before, I don't think this Pircha works by Mitzorah, because Mitzorah does have a Tzad Chumrah, which is above the, which overrides the Chumrah of the Nazir and the, offset, right? The Chumrah over there. All right? Because the Mitzorah has a requirement to Glachas Kol B'Saro. He has to shave all his body. All right, now, So there he says, Kal Dan and Kal B'chomer, the half me I love. Right? B'hada Amar. And now you're over here, you're trying to suggest, Nelef Medina, right? Learn out from a Kal B'chomer, right? Meaning, or some din, right? That Medina, Nami Yolif, Nami Lo Yolif, right? And then the Gemara says, oh, we can't learn it out from the Tzadar Shavish of it. So it doesn't make any sense. Meaning that is Mitzorah the one that has Tar, and you're trying to learn from it? And then now you have Mitzorah that's trying to learn out from Nazir, you can't learn it either way. So now you're stuck, because you don't. First of all, the Gemara doesn't make sense, because why would you try to learn Nazir from the Torah if the Torah really learns it out from Nazir? So what's going on over here? So that Gemara says, Amalei, how old is the Rabbanon? How old is the Rebbe Elazar? Well, that is...
Where are we saying that you can't learn out from a din?
Right here. We just tried to say by Dalus, by Tom Rebbe Mitzorah, Shekabinob Dalut. We just rejected the limud of Mitzorah from... from Nazir and Levi, because they have a common chumrah, which is that they both have a karban kavua, whereas Mitzorah has olav yored.
It seems to be that he's saying you can't learn out something from a din.
Din is a karban chumrah, right?
Right.
So you hear, the basic question, I think it's,
technically, you can't use learn out from a din. Not because there's this extra kavua.
I don't even think, that the real relevant question of the Gemara is, that before you tried to learn Nazir from Mitzorah, and now you're trying to learn Mitzorah from Nazir, okay. Which one has Tar in it? I think that's the basic problem. The Gemara's answer you'll see is exactly that. Where do we know Tar? By Mitzorah. So over here, our side of the Gemara is pretty easy. This Gemara that we learned today is pretty straightforward, which is that Tar is mentioned by Nazir, Tar is mentioned by Levi, and now we want to learn to Mitzorah where there is no Tar mentioned. That's a pretty straightforward limud because it's pretty obvious why you need Tar by Mitzorah and why you want to learn it from Nazir and Mitzorah. How you get Tar to be by Nazir, we've seen before, like from Rebbe and others, that Tar can be applied to. But why before did you try to learn Mitzorah and the Nazir out of Mitzorah? That implies that Mitzorah already knows about Tar. Where do you know that Mitzorah has Tar? And that's what the Gemara wants to know. So the Gemara says, Ha Rabbanan, Ha Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbanan, Rabbi Eliezer? That's not. We have a Mishnah. Excuse me. Ve'eno. Alright. Ve'eno Chayev, Ashi Kletenu B'Tar. You're not chayav until, what? You cut it off with a tar. Here it's talking about hakafas rosho, right? Or, I'm sorry, a pat zekeno, right? That you're not allowed to shave your beard, right? You're not allowed to shave your beard with a razor. Okay, you can't shave your beard with a razor. So, eno chayav, achi kilteno binar, tar. I'm sorry, the Tanakhama believes that shaving with a razor is the only thing that is restricted when it comes to shaving one's beard. Even if you use some sort of tweezer, or the way that it's unbelievable, the Rush says that the malachite is a plina that you plina. Use, yeah, a plane, exactly, to smooth out boards, which I don't know, I mean, that type of plane, if you shaved your face with that, that'd be a pretty nasty shave, but I think that's what the Rush suggests over here, that it's a plane being used.
It
would leave with a very smooth surface. That's right. So that's it. Malachite and Rehitni are two different ways of moving here, but they're not razors, okay? They are the equivalent, they accomplish the same thing as a razor. What does a razor do? It's Oker Mi'ikaro. A razor cuts to the point where it cuts at the root level. That's what's unique to razor. Razor is hashkotah, that it cuts at the root level. So now, the Tanakhama believes you can only use a razor, alright, to cut your face to be violate that isur, whereas the Vilezer believes you can even violate it by simulating what a tar does. What is simulating what a tar does? It means that you're okrami karo. So if you take a tweezer and you pluck all the hairs out, you've done the same thing that a razor was doing. So therefore you are chaya, the same thing with this plane, however this plane works in cutting the hair. It accomplishes the same thing as a razor. My time, my Udurabana. What's the reason of the Rabbana? Ditanya zikno. It says by Mitzorah zikno. Mata melomer. Why do you need the term zikno by a Mitzorah? Mitzorah zikano, thank you. It already says, right, that you have to shave or you have to cut kol bisaro, his whole body. So why do you have to come after, he says already, to shave his whole body, to go ahead and then shave his beard? I mean, that's obvious. If you're shaving his whole body, his beard is included. Yishinemar, because we have a restriction, upa'at zikanam lo yegalechu. It says by... sorry. Parsha Demor, it says that the Kohanim should not cut the corners of their beards. Yochol afilu mitzorah kein, you would think that even by mitzorah, since there's a restriction against cutting one's beard, then when it says by mitzorah that you cut all his hair, you cut all his hair except for his beard. Tamalomar, it's kano. Right, so then the the Torah tells you by Nitzorah, not only are you going to cut his whole Bisaro, but even his beard, meaning that you're going to override the restriction of Berkat Sakana and go Yigalechu. Uminalan de Bitar. And how do you know that this is done with a razor? Titanya. Ufukat Kanam lo yigalechu. It says by the Kohanim that you're not allowed to cut the corners of their beard. I would thought that what? Even if you cut it with a scissor, not simply with a razor, ye chayav, he'll be chayav, tamalomar, velo tashchit, right? By Yisrael. Here it's not by a Kohen. By Yisroel, it says that lotashchit et patz kanech is a kanecha. You're not allowed to cut or destroy the corners of your beard. So now we have two terms. We have a term of giluach and we have a term of hashchata, of destruction. Yochol likto b'mlakeit u'behitni yechayav tamadomar u'pakat zakanam lo yigalechu haketzad. What's the limud here? Ezehu giluach sheyesh bo hashchata. What is a cutting that destroys? What's cutting that destroys? Have you heard zetar? By tar, razor is the only thing that qualifies to do both cutting and destruction at the same time. So meaning scissors fail, because not because they're not giluach, they are a good giluach, but they're not hashchata, because they do not cut at the roots. That's the definition of a scissor. The definition of a scissor, the difference between a scissor and a tar, is how they cut. Right?
It seems to support the idea that tar means tar or anything that's like tar, as opposed to scissors.
Right, as opposed to, that is correct. But it might not be Mehitni and Balake, Walmart, so. So maybe a different requirement over there, because there the requirement is both Kiluach and Hashkata, which may not have application by other places. I agree with you, it does sound more like tar, and just tar. Alright, so now, what's the difference between a razor and a scissor, which has major nafkamino today, for shavers? What's the difference between a scissor and a razor? How does a razor work? Again, a razor works by cutting as a single blade, right? It works by the sharpness of the blade running against what's the friction. You can't cut without a counter force. I mean, cutting doesn't happen unless there's counter pressure to your cutting. What's the counter pressure to the razor? It's your skin. Right, so the razor cuts by running against the counter pressure of your skin, and therefore it does giluach, it does cutting, and number two, it does hashchat because it cuts at the root level. Why is it cutting at the root level? Because what is the counter pressure? The counter pressure is the skin, which allows it to cut right at the root level. A scissor, by definition, how does a scissor work? A scissor is two blades. Right, so what's the counter blade, or what's the counter to the blade, is the other blade of the scissor. That's why if you turn the scissor over and you cut, it doesn't cut, right? Because you're moving the, you need the blade to be stationary, the counter blade has to be stationary, and the moving blade has to move against that counter pressure. So if you turn it over, a lot of times it doesn't work. But that's the way, so a scissor works by, so a scissor is cutting, there's no question it's giluach, but is it hashchata? And the answer is not hashchata, because why? How does it cut? It cuts by using the counter pressure of another blade. If it uses the counter pressure of another blade, by definition it's not cutting at the root level, because you have to leave the distance of the other blade or the counter pressure to cut. Right? So that's the argument in today's shavers. Why today's shavers aren't problematic, because they cut against the screen, right? The blades, the razors that are in there, the spinning razors that are inside, don't cut against your skin, but they cut against the screen that's above them. They use the screen as the equivalent of a other blade. So the difference between a razor and cutting with a shaver is that you have a counter force. And what's that counter, or counter counter to the razor is that the screen itself on the top of the razor is that thickness of whatever that screen is going to determine how close your shave is. That's why their shavers will come, where you can move the screens up and down. It will change the closeness of the shave. Because why should it matter? If the razors are cutting against your skin, why should it matter about the screens? It matters because the distance the screens are from the blade will determine how long the hair is that's left there.
Which is why I think Rav Nachum Rabin never said that if you put a piece of toilet paper lightly against the screen, it still cuts the toilet paper. It's made to the fact that the blades eclipse the level of the screen, and therefore don't use the screen as the counter pressure.
Uh-huh.
I'm not mistaken.
But it's not using the screen.
I think it was a Nachman.
But then it's not using the screen. If it cuts the paper up, it's not using the screen. Yeah, if you put your hand. I mean, that the way to test it, the only way to test it was to write a piece, write with pen on your palm of your hand, and then if you shave the palm of your hand. If it's really cutting against your skin, the friction would wipe away what you wrote on your hand. Right? I mean, if you have a pencil, it would rub against that, and then it would wipe it away. If it's cutting against the screen, when you put the shaver against your hand, it wouldn't affect it, because it's not rubbing. There's no friction against the point where you wrote on it. So that was a way to always test whether the friction was against your hand or against the screen. All right, that's a sidebar. Sorry. That was just a little side for halacha today, halacha, modern halacha. But all right, in our Gemara, the way the Rabbanan learned it out is what? Tar and Giluach. There's a requirement of Giluach and Ashkata. That means in order to shave or to violate the restriction against cutting one's face or cutting the beard, right, you have to use a tar, a razor. So now, when we go back to, Metzora, so just think of this, Mara's going to do this in a second, I'm just saying, but when you go back to Metzora, now why does Metzora have to exclude the Kano? So what would have been the Havamina? The Havamina would have been that by Metzora, it says, cut your whole body, right? So what would it have included in that? Your beard. And now you would say, oh, I can't cut my beard, because why? What am I not allowed to cut my beard with? A razor. That implies, by Metzora, how are you cutting your body? With a razor. So that's what they proof is, that by Mitzvah there's a requirement of razor. How do I know there's a requirement of razor by Mitzvah? Because I needed Tikno to come to teach me, despite the fact that there's a restriction against cutting with a razor your face. Nevertheless, by Mitzvah you still cut it. So the only reason...
You say it's a Kano, and you can sit and say, well, of course you can't, just don't use a razor.
Right, cut with scissors.
The cutting has to be done with a razor, and therefore you don't have any other
razor. Very good. So that's the proof that by Mitzvah there's a kind of tar. So that is, the Rabbanan would be the principles of the other opinion that we saw before. We wanted to learn Nazir from Mitzvah, because they believe by Mitzvah there's a requirement of tar. And since there's a requirement of tar by Mitzvah that we learn out from the extra words, kano. So therefore, you wanted to learn Nazir from that tar. Right, so that's the basic premise of this position. Now, the Gemara, we'll just go through the Gemara. Mimai. Gemara says, how do you know this is true? Vilma, the Olam Afilu Likto, Ben Laket, Rehidne, Nami, Mitzvah Ka'avid. So maybe by Mitzvah, no, you don't have a requirement of tar, of shaving with a razor. But what? You can even do it with a tweezer or a plane, right? And that would be okay. Bahaka Atelish Mi'ina. That the Torah is giving you options by Mitzvah. By Mitzvah you can use a malakit, you can use a rehiti, or you can use a tar. The only way you know you can use a tar is if the Torah permits you to do it, otherwise you're violating Ufakat Skanam Lo Yigaleku. So the Gemara's not saying that there is a requirement of tar, but rather, it's an option to use tar. So Gemara says, if you think that when you use a tweezer and a plane it's also good, why did the pasuk have to say anything at all? And I would have said, this kavachomer, I'm going to be honest with you now, is a very difficult kavachomer. There are two ways to learn it. The first is one way to learn it. Tosus has a different way to learn the kavachomer. At the end, Tosus says that this kavachomer is not a good kavachomer. The Gemara's real proof is from the next piece of the Gemara. A real statement is from Reish Lakish coming up. The Gemara went through this stage anyway. Right? So I just pointed out to you because it's not so easy to explain. So the Gemara says, if the pasuk said nothing, I would say, my gabba nizir, the isura ka'avid, by a nazir where he does an isur. What isur is a nazir doing? So that's the subject of the machlokas and the mefarshim and Tosfos. Right in the first, the isur is that he's cutting the hair during his nazirut. When you cut your hair in the middle of your nizirut, how do you violate your nizirut by cutting in the middle of the nizirut? According to the Mepharsh, you have to cut with a tar, with a razor. Right? This is the way the Mepharsh learned the Gemara earlier. Tosfos, who says that even when you can't cut with a tar, you still violate, can't say that that's the problem here. So what does Tosfos say, or the rest say the problem here? What's the Isur by Nazir? That you took a nether nizirut, right, that now restricts you. Right? That you did something... He did something that, I'm just trying to look for it inside, that if he was Nazir Tahor, even Nazir Tahor is considered a Chotet, right? That's like Revelazar Kapar, that he's Tirat Moment Ayayin. So even though you took a net in his roots, at the end of your roots, what are you going to do? You're going to cut all your hair off. So despite the fact that you reached this point by doing an Isur, a quote-unquote Isur, it's not a real violation, but what? That Nazirut in itself is a subpar concept that we want, because there is a chait involved in it. So either way, Matnazir di Isura Ka'avit, Afilu Mechachi Mechayev, and nevertheless, what? He is Chayev, meaning that if he did it with a razor, he's Chayev. Hochwa the mitzvah, over here by Mitzvah, where he does a mitzvah, right? Koshkein, that he can use a razor? So you have Mitzvah, which is something either because you're doing a sin, right? Which is the way the Mefarsh learns over here. You're still chayav when you use a malaki and a rehitni, right? Because before we said that you're ma'abel kol ma'abirim, then kosher came by a mitzora. That anything that you can use to cut with, and even a razor should be okay. Because just by nazir, just like by nazir, when you violate the nazirut, razor works. And other types of cutting utensils work, so too by mitzora. Razor and other cutting instruments will all be in the same category. So that's the way the Mefarsh learns. The way Tosfos learns it is, even though by your taras and nazir, we allow you to use a nazir, we allow you to cut your hair entirely, right? That you can use even a tar at the end of your nazirut. So too by mitzora, right? Where you're doing a mitzvah, there's you didn't do anything wrong to become a mitzvah. You are a mitzvah, it's a state of being. And now you want to entire yourself being a mitzvah. Certainly over there, you can use a tar. You should be able to use a razor. Vitu. Even more, if you think you can accomplish the mitzvah of shaving by a mitzora, because it doesn't say tar, then learn like Reish Lakish. What's the principle of Reish Lakish? The principle of Reish Lakish appears in Yuvamos. If you have the ability, when you have an assay and a lotasay, to accomplish both of them, then we will. So what do you have over here? You have a restriction against ba'at tekanam lo yigaleichu. That is, you're not allowed to shave your beard with a razor. Number two is, you have a requirement to shave your entire body by a mitzora. You can accomplish that by using a tweezer or a rehizi or a plane, and you would not violate the restriction of a katz family chayka. We're going to demand that you do that, because then you can accomplish both. You both accomplish the kol b'saro by mitzora to remove all his hair, and you won't violate the katz family chayka. So the fact that you need a pasuk to teach you that you can violate, right? Must be dafka tar and not any other mitzvah. This is much stronger. Yeah, it's a much stronger question, and that it also says it. I don't have a good way to explain it. The previous gemara is
right. Final punch.
Right, saved it for the final punch. The Gilin Ashad even has a stronger. Alright, that's it. Alright, we'll stop here because this is the Shita of the Rabbanan. We have to go back now to what's the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. But at least according to the Rabbanan, we can understand why there's a requirement of Tar by Mitzora. We learned that out by Pachak Malaychu, and that's why the previous Gemara, yesterday's Daf, the bottom of the Daf, that's why the Gemara suggested learning Nazir from Mitzora, because we knew that Mitzora had a Tar. I'll just point out here again, Tosfos over here mentions that Reish Lakish's statement is somewhat chaser. It should have written more extensively over here. It says, Kavi Melo Dechtiv Tar, and it should have written. He says, the Tosfos writes an interesting lashon here. Elashas Katara Lishna de Nazir. The Gemara is shorthand lashon in Nazir. Lishna Kalila. It's a light lashon. Viragio Vikamo Kamos Le Katar Lishano. And in many places in Nazir, the Lashon is abbreviated. Again, similar to what we learned and started with the Dafa today about the Amar Mar, that it's Lashon Yushalmi, that you have a much more abbreviated, punctuated type of Lashon here, and not an easier flowing transition words type of Lashon, which, any, you know, from our learning Nazir, I think it's obvious to everybody, but it's nice to see the Rishonim also pointing this out. All right, we'll stop here.